your hosts for Life from the Pulpit. Here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to Life from the Pulpit, the cutting edge in biblical exposition, coming to you live on location in Merced, California, home of the Merced Church of Christ. This is the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble servant, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offer up news and opinions, news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings and welcome to the program. Someone over in the Vatican must listen to the Life from the Pulpit podcast, because I'm going to tell you that, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to celebrate. That's right. The conclave caved. That's right. Celebrate it. Sing it. They picked a pope over there in Rome. Celebrate. There's a party going on in Rome right now. Celebration. Why? Because they picked a pope. It's exciting. Oh, man. You know, we just have too much fun over here. I told you yesterday, didn't I? It's just, it's been too long. I wish they would already pick a pope, and they did. Would they cast four or five ballots, and then finally, past 7 o'clock, Vatican Standard Time, the white smoke came billowing out of a smoke pipe on top of the Sistine Chapel. I was fed up. 13 days. 13 days without the church having a head. Like I said yesterday in the program, most bodies die after being decapitated for 13 days. But they picked a pope. I felt bad for those poor people standing out there in the rain, standing out there in the cold. It's inhumane. It's unjust. You shouldn't have to stand out to thousands, possibly millions of people standing out there and out in front of the Sistine Chapel, waiting for the smoke every time. Black, black, black. Until finally, the necessary two-thirds supermajority. Some 77, if I did the math right, of the 115 cardinals had to agree upon the one man who would lead the Catholic Church, who would be the new head pope. And we had a little fun with that yesterday. I'm at the expense, perhaps, of our Catholic friends. But hey, come on already, right? Pick the pope. And they did. Let me give you a little information about this guy. The new pontiff who stepped out onto the Vatican balconies dressed in all white to address the roaring crowd there in front of the Sistine Chapel, St. Peter's Square. He comes out there. He is Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio. Jorge Mario Bergoglio. Cardinal out of Argentina, Buenos Aires. He was the guy that they picked as the new leader, new pope. Bergoglio, he is a Jesuit priest, and he's also the first pope from South America. First pope from the Americas period, if I understand it correctly. I feel bad for Cardinal Dolan. Cardinal Timothy Dolan. He's archbishop over the second largest archdiocese, if I'm not mistaken. I think the first one's probably the Vatican, but at any rate, Cardinal Dolan didn't make it. But you know what? The cardinal from New York, probably going to have another crack at it in the future. I don't know how soon. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But Bergoglio is 76. By the way, he's taking the name Pope Francis. No other pope's been named Francis before. So it's just Pope Francis, the first, I guess, if you... But he's 76. How old was Ratzenberger when he went into office? Anybody know out there? Mr. Producer? Well, that's right, it's just me here. Ratzenberger was in his 70s. And he just retired after, what was it, 7 or 8 years? We'll see how long Bergoglio can hold up, Pope Francis. But again, I'm thinking Dolan's probably going to have another chance. When the news originally hit, I thought I read something that this guy was Italian, that they elected another Italian pope. But the information, again, was coming across the wire so quickly, we just couldn't make sense of all of it. But... this guy's from Argentina, from South America. Although, he does apparently have some Italian in him. He is of some Italian descent. So you can't, you know, you can pick a pope from outside of Italy, but you can't take the Italy out of the pope. I'm just... Anyway, Pope Francis came out. Introduced himself to all of his to the flock that had gathered there out in St. Peter Square. He said several things. Wanted to offer prayer for the former Pope, Pope Emeritus Benedict the 16th. He says, "Let's pray always for each other. Let's pray for the whole world. May there be a great brotherhood." He wished that the voyage with the church that they began today would be a successful one in spreading the gospel. He said, "Let's pray silently in this prayer for me," and a hush fell over the crowd. He recited the Lord's Prayer, recited a Hail Mary, made the sign of the cross, blessed the crowd. Estimates put the crowd at about 100,000. Thanked him warmly. Tomorrow he's going to go pray to the Madonna. I don't know what that means. I thought we pray to God, but whatever. They'll see each other soon. Wanted to wish all in Rome well. Good night, good rest. Little laugh, little wave. Left the balcony among cheers, bells ringing. We have a pope. We have a pope. That was the news today. Newly elected 266th pope. 266 popes by the Catholic Church's count, right? Because they're counting Peter, even though he wasn't a pope. He was not a pope. He was a leader in the Apostolic Church. He was an apostle, but that's all. He wasn't a pope. He was married, for crying out loud. But I did a little research, and some other popes have been married, were married when they took office. About 11 of them, if I'm not mistaken. 11 popes who've been married before. The most recent one was about 800 years ago, so... The precedent has been for the last 800 years, you don't have a wife when you're a Catholic priest. You take a vow of celibacy. So Peter, when he took, he ascended to the papacy, obviously would have, well, that was the end of his relations with his wife, right? But again, he wasn't Pope. He was simply Peter. He was an elder. Yeah, he was certainly a shepherd, an overseer, a bishop, if you want to use that term. And by the way, qualifications, if we're going to talk that way, about an elder, an overseer in the Lord's church, husband and one wife. All kinds of fanfare, pomp and circumstances, that sort of thing going on there. Apparently this guy's a pretty smart guy. He's modernized the Argentina's conservative Catholic Church, and during his tenure there, installed as an archbishop. Let's see here. As a cardinal, he was created. That's what they do. They create cardinals. Back in 2001, when Pope John Paul II, he created Mr. Bergoglio as a cardinal. He came close to being the Pope the last time. He and Ratzenberger were having it out. They had several rounds of voting then, but he finally bowed out in the conclave, and you know they elected Ratzenberger as Pope Benedict XVI. But he almost won it last time, but he won it this time. We'll see how long he holds up. Interesting note here. This guy, let me see if I can find the story real quick. All kinds of stuff flying across. Yeah, here we are. He is a very conservative Catholic leader. And this is commendable, okay? I know I give the Catholic Church a hard time sometimes. Let's just face it. This kind of hierarchy in the church just simply is not biblical. You're not going to find the Pope top side or bottom in the New Testament, period. You have to make that up, which is what has happened. I am persuaded that our Catholic friends are a part of the apostate church led by the man of sin himself, as was predicted by Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Interestingly enough, our Catholic friends will switch that, and they'll say that we're the apostate church led by the man of sin, probably like a guy like Martin Luther or something, or maybe they'll symbolically. What I see there in the New Testament, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the man of sin is, that's the rise of the papacy. Number of commentator scholars agree with the same thing. But I digress. This guy has, Bergoglio, has some very interesting, very strong positions on abortion and euthanasia. And again, it's commendable. This is good stuff. And I'm glad for this because the Catholic Church has a very loud voice in this world. If they would have elected a very liberal cardinal, I think that guy having a loud voice would have been detrimental to religion around the world. Period. But this guy, he's fairly conservative. He invited, while he was as Archbishop down there in Buenos Aires, Argentina. While he was down there, he invited his clergy, he invited the laity to oppose both abortion and euthanasia. Apparently there was some legislation coming down the pike by the Argentinian government. And in 2010, Bergoglio strongly opposed that legislation. They some legislation concerning same-sex marriage. homosexual marriage. He called it a, quote, real and dire anthropological throwback. Wow. That's pretty good. In a letter to the monasteries of Buenos Aires, he wrote, "Let's not be naive. We're not talking about a simple political battle. It is a destructive pretension against the plan of God. We're not talking about a mere bill, but rather a machination of the father of lies that seeks to confuse and deceive the children of God." Man, oh man. I got a letter from a member of the church who pointed this out to me about his views and positions on this stuff. And they asked, why are so many ministers silent? So many preachers. Preachers of the true gospel in the true church. Why are so many preachers, ministers silent on this? And we have to look to the Catholic Church to be the voice. Or there's a fellow up the road here who's pastor of the Cornerstone Church down in Fresno. And usually he's the only voice on, quote, our side, right? He's not afraid of the media coverage. He's spoken against homosexuality, spoken against abortion, euthanasia, ever since 1989 or longer. It's shameful that anytime there is anything regarding homosexuality or the pro-life issue in the news, that at least here locally, maybe it's different where you're at, but here locally in the Central Valley, there's only one voice, and it's Jim Franklin. That's his name, Pastor Jim Franklin down at the Cornerstone Church in Fresno. He's the only voice. Where are all the preachers? Look, I'm in this. I'm new. Okay, I just appeared to Merced. Just finding my bearings here. But who are the other guys right here in the Central Valley that are speaking up about this? So I'll throw my hat in the ring. I've got this podcast. Broadcast all over the world. All you need is an internet access. And yes, I'll come out and I'll agree here with Mr. Bergoglio. Bergoglio. When it comes to homosexuality, it is not just when it comes to homosexual marriage, it's not just a mere bill, but it is the machination of the father of lies who seeks to confuse and deceive not only the whole world, which he's done that, by the way, but confuse and deceive the children of God. And with all due respect to our Catholic friends, with all due respect, you are not the children of God. Only those who have been born again, been born of the water and the Spirit, and that's baptism, by the way, immersion, by the way, not sprinkling, only those who have been born from above, by having been immersed in water, all your sins forgiven, only those are the children of God. And I know that is not politically correct, and I know that's not what a lot of people like to hear, but that's what Scripture says. This is not just a political battle. Again, I'm going to agree with Bergoglio. It's not just a political battle. And let's not be naive. These are destructive pretensions against the plan of God when it comes to marriage and when it comes to the family. By the way, both of those institutions which God himself ordained, created, and instituted from the beginning. So yeah, I'll agree with the new Pope, who really that's not original to him. What does Scripture say about these things? What do the Scriptures say about homosexual offenders who remain in that condition and refuse to repent? And oh, by the way, it is a behavior. Another interesting thing about Bergoglio, he insisted that adoption by homosexuals is a form of discrimination against children. he says every child needs to grow up with a mother and a father. Oh my goodness. You don't get any more politically incorrect than that. But it's not about political correctness anymore, is it? It's about speaking truth in love, certainly. Jesus came full of grace and truth. The Argentinian president, by the way, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, she said that Bergoglio's tone was reminiscent of medieval times in the Inquisition. Exaggerate much, sweetheart? all right, that wasn't nice. But she rebuked, or at least attempted to rebuke, Bergoglio on this homosexual marriage thing and on adoption by homosexuals. I do need to get to our sponsor. Sponsor this half hour, Merced Church of Christ. Located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway, the Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our purpose is to worship God, proclaiming His love and salvation in Christ, and to care for the lost and for one another. The Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that's Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. Our midweek service is on Wednesday. We have Bible study at 7 p.m. She's served by her preaching minister, Nick Perez, yours truly. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, relational, reliable, real. I've been agreeing with Bergoglio on a lot of things today, but truth is truth wherever you find it, right? So Bergoglio, Mr. Bergoglio, will you please agree with God that when it comes to the papacy, it is an unnecessary creation for the Lord's church? But it is also flat out unbiblical. It's unscriptural. It was warned about that this kind of stuff would happen. The Apostle Paul, John, Peter, Jesus himself indicates that this stuff's coming down the pike. Men are going to make power plays and try to grab for power. But as I mentioned in the previous episode, There's no authority except Christ's authority. He's the only one with authority. He himself has said all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. How much does that leave for the rest of us? Try none. There's only one who is the head of this church, and that's Jesus Christ. To claim to be the head of the church is a claim of deity. It's a claim to be the Redeemer, the Creator, the Forgiver, a claim to be the preeminent over the first, over the creation, over death itself. Mr. Bergoglio, you're none of those. Christ alone is head of his church. Christ alone is head of the body. And it is a monstrosity for there to be two heads and one body. No, there's only one head, because there's only one body. Even as there is one Lord, one faith, one immersion, one God and Father who's over all, through all, and in all, so there's also only one body. One Spirit, one hope rounds out those seven ones there in Ephesians 4:4-6. But there's only one body. It's only got one head. Not one head here on earth and one head here in heaven. There in heaven. Just one head, period. And that's the man Jesus Christ. I watched the crowds, watched the coverage, waited with them, though separated by time and space, watched as they waited for the white smoke, and then it came. They erupted in cheering, in laughing, holding up signs that, if I understand it correctly, said, "Long live the Pope." I don't know about you, but watching that display, it broke my heart. Because those people are believing a lie. They're deceived. I spoke with a woman who used to be a Catholic, and she was a Catholic for 50 some odd years, about 55 years, and then she finally was converted to Christ. And she told me, she was devout Catholic, at Mass all the time, but she told me, she said, if I would have died before I came to Christ, in any of those 55 years before I came to Christ, she said, I would have died, and I would have gone to hell, and I would have wondered why. That scares me to death, and I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. You can like us on Facebook, Life from the Pulpit. Like us on Facebook. Also, follow me on Twitter, @InPulpit, @NickPulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. You get all our updates through those various media. Also, be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, www.lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, and 1 John, all there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Also, check Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org. A lot of sermon audio there, also for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. We do have a new home right here on livefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. This is now the new permanent home of the Life from the Pulpit podcast. And I look forward to a fruitful ministry here. All right, I'm out of time. Grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.